Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. We're going to preface this show. First off, I just want to say, I'm going to get this out of the way, because everybody most likely is listening to the beginning.
Probably. Right. Probably.
If you've been on our website lately, you probably noticed that it's slow. We've mentioned it before. You might have noticed a new layout change. This is in an attempt to fix the speed of the website. It hasn't worked. We had the same issue with our sister site, We Talk Podcast. What worked there is not working on We Talk Wrestling. I just want everybody to please be patient with us. We're aware of it. We're trying to fix it. And it will load. It's just loading incredibly slowly. That said, we're going to now give you the best wrestling podcast on the goddamn planet for your listening pleasure.
I found out on the website, and in part, I blame Al-Qaeda.
Well, we need to get, Outback Jack on that.
We do. We really, we do.
Yeah.
That would be lovely. Yeah. But yes, wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah.
Should we just start off with the small penis in the room?
Yeah, well, that is the name of the show, name of the episode, isn't it?
Oh, fuck. Like, I hate Hunter. as much as he wants to focus on tag teams and do developmental and be this corporate guy, which he, you know, sometimes he's pointing to, sometimes he's not, but he's just, he's Vern Helmsley.
Yeah.
You know, he's Hunter Hearst Gagne. Like, he can't do it. He just doesn't know how.
He cannot be on camera. Vince was sometimes not the best thing to have on camera because he tended to take over the show and there's ultimately no upside to him.
Towards the end.
Even before towards the end.
When he was doing awesome.
By 2003.
Yeah, it was towards the end.
No, really, because he's been around for another decade on and off TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, by then, I mean, you know, it was enough. But it's, even then, even when he puts somebody down, it's never quite like Hunter.
It kind of is. Stack of dime next pal, and
yeah, but that's backstage. That's not on camera.
But you're still, yeah, it is.
He said some stuff on camera, but
did he tell Orton that he had a stack of dimes neck on camera?
I thought that was backstage. I was sure.
No, that was on camera, and then Hunter called Chris Masters stack of dimes neck on
camera. That one I remember.
Yeah, no, they did both. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, Vince is bad, but Hunter's worse.
Oh, fuck. Hunter, there's just no... He does... Again, I don't know what it is, if there's just some little, like, small dick thing inside of him that as soon as he starts talking to someone, he just has to, you know, be this glorious mastermind guy. Like,
let's go, in case somebody missed it, tell everybody exactly what happened.
Well, I mean, they're doing the contract signing, and Orton does his part, good promo part for, you know, I'm going to take you to hell, and blah, I'm going to take myself to hell in the cell, and I'm taking you with me, and you can't hang with me, and I'm going to beat you. Fine, right? And then, what's his nuts there, Brian says, you know, blah, blah, I'm going to beat you. Fine. Then Hunter picks up the microphone and says that, I've seen a million guys like you come and go. And that's like, that's a Hogan line.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Like, Hogan goes to flavor of the month, pal. Like, and then he says, you know, and then he names what, Edge, RVD and Jericho. He says three guys that, don't get me wrong, talented guys, but they were never the one. They were just guys. So,
yeah, like, he said, and then don't forget the line. If these guys had ever been the one, we'd all be working for Ted Turner right now.
Right, yes, because they all came along after WCW was sold. I'm just saying. Well, I guess
Jericho didn't,
came along 2 years before. But
Edge didn't. Edge didn't become...
None of them became top guys until after.
After WCW's gone, yeah.
Yeah. But either way, I mean, that got an ooh, and that was a clever line in terms of a clever line, but...
No, it wasn't.
It was. That's a clever line if you're talking to the, you know, the right person. But when you're talking about a guy coming up in 2014, and you're referencing guys that came along in 2002, 2001, 2003 in terms of their beginning of you know, getting a bit of a ball to run with, you sound like a retard.
Well, yeah, I mean, you sound like a retard. You sound like a retard just because nobody, I mean, you say it, nobody really believes it's true anyways.
Well, and here's the, my honest to God, my absolute first thought about this, because I'm used to Hunter being an insecure, small penis dick. But my first thought, my absolute God first thought was when he goes, Rob Van Dam, Edge, and Chris Jericho, you know, oh, they're all right kind of things. I'm like, Edge headlined your fucking Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So your fucking Hall of Fame headliner was just, you know, an okay talent. You know, Marjo, a good hand, an upper mid-card guy. Great. Yeah, so who the fuck? Like, that was, what, 2 years ago?
Was it 2 years?
Bruno and Foley was last year. So
yeah, year
Horseman
and a half.
And Horseman and Edge were the year before. So yeah. It was like that was two Hall of Fames ago. You fucking moron.
Well,
then
that's not even okay.
That was
so
part one.
Oh, wait, hold on, I got Impact on live in the background while this is going on.
Oh yeah, because we're talking about shit. So keep going.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we really are because it's Dixie comes out. She has like streamers and posters and signs, all this stuff. Welcome back, AJ. And then AJ walks out. The guy without the contract. Champion right. Without the contract.
Well, this is okay, though. This is the... Yeah, okay. I don't mind that.
Yeah, he should be gone. He shouldn't be there. He should be gone.
Oh, but they're going to do... But they're going to do it better than WWE.
Yeah, so far, no.
WWE's mistakes.
Oh, fuck. All right, anyways, go on. So, then the other part that you're...
That was part one. Because then... And there were three parts to this. Part one. That was part one. And then Brian picks up the mic and says, well, okay, Hunter, tough guy, fucking take your tie off, take your monkey suit off, and change it up for a pair of tights, and let's have a match.
Yeah, let's see. If you don't think I'm good enough, get in the ring with me. I'll show you I'm good enough.
Motherfucker, and I'll kick your bitchy little ass.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's, then he goes, oh, this is where you don't get it. Ironic. And I only fight stars.
Yeah.
I fight rock.
Yeah,
I know.
He said, it's not that I couldn't get in the ring.
Yeah.
Because I could if I wanted to.
I can at any point, or I'm more than capable of at any point, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I only fight stars. I only fight The Undertaker. I only fight Lesnar. I only fight The Rock. I only fight Michaels, or like who I named anyway, dude. Yeah. So he named these guys.
Yeah. And he says he wouldn't waste his time. These guys wouldn't waste their time with Daniel Bryan.
None of those guys would waste their time with Daniel Bryan. I won't waste my time. So the main event. Because superstars wouldn't waste their time. Bigger than larger than life, the top guys would not waste their time.
Who obviously then aren't on this show.
But they are not going to waste their time with Daniel Bryan. So, Randy Orton, who's fighting Daniel Bryan and wasting his time with Daniel Bryan, then is not a superstar.
Well, obviously, there's not a single superstar in the show, right? So it's skippable.
That's right. So, I don't need to buy it. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's part two.
And then the part three is a little bit more minor. But he says, Sean, I don't know why Sean wasted his time training you. And Sean goes, hold on. I didn't waste my time. kid is good. He's very good. What?
So I actually like that. I like that.
Now you have a not superstar, Randy Orton, fighting very good Daniel Bryan.
Nah, I didn't come across that
inside one. Of a cell.
It did not come to me. It came across like when Shawn Michaels says that about you, like you have to really earn respect of somebody at his level to say you're that even. So if Shawn Michaels says you're very good, literally you're very good.
You're very good.
And you know what? He would probably look at somebody you know, that's like Sting and say he's not very good. And that guy's headline pay-per-views and drawn. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's Shawn Michaels would not even give the label of very good on, say, a Dolph Ziggler or on, say, a Randy Orton maybe. You know what I mean? Like it didn't come across that way to me. It came across that way to me like that's a huge compliment from somebody at the level of Shawn Michaels. I don't know. Remember when he was here in Calgary and Bret Hart said, I think of you as the Bret Hart of your generation?
Yeah, I mean, that was better,
but...
Well, it came across as a backhanded compliment to me. Is that he meant well, but it just, after everything that was just said, this guy wasn't strong enough given everything that Hunter just said. We watched the WWE.com Daniel Bryan, my name is Daniel Bryan, and I'm a professional wrestler promo. And he says, Randy Orton, and he talks about how Randy Orton began every opportunity because of who his dad was. Now, Randy, I'm not taking away anything from you. You are good. In fact, you're great.
Yeah, you're great. You're a 10-time world champion.
You're a 10-time world champion. But, shockingly, that's how you do it. But I'm going to kick your head in. Like, that's how.
But I am focused. And I want to prove I'm the best. And you know what? And we're going to put this on at the end of the show, you know, as the audio. I think that video, and it's unfortunate the ending is that contract signing with Triple H doing what he's doing. Because if they had put that on as the end of the show, like that to me, I thought that was the best thing WWE's done in years. That's how good I thought it was. Daniel Bryan was great. Everything about it, the editing was great. Daniel Bryan was amazing. Like, I think it was the best thing done in years. And yeah, it proves how Daniel Bryan is much smarter about the business than Triple H. The thing that there's so much that bugged me about this. I mean, let's face it, so much of it is just utter shit. But for one thing, do you look in any way at Chris Jericho and think, fuck, his accomplishments in wrestling are way less than Triple H's? Like, if those guys aren't the guy, you know what? If you had been the one, too, you also would have been working for WCW. You weren't The Rock. Like, we've said this before. We talked about the biggest stars in the Attitude Era. It went Austin. It went The Rock. Probably went Undertaker, then Mick Foley. Triple H might have been five.
Probably was five, yeah.
But you're not the one if you're number five.
Well, no, the first thing he said, I mean, he's like RVD, Chris Jericho, and Edge. They weren't the one. And I'm going, no, Billy Gunn was.
The one Billy Gunn. No, but the thing is, I look at Triple H. I'm going to give Triple H's career, I give it an 8.5 out of 10. I would give Shawn Michaels an 8.5 out of 10. I would give Bret Hart an 8.5 out of 10. I would give Edge an 8. I would give Chris Jericho an 8.5. I'd give
Jericho an 8.
I give Jericho an 8.5. I think it's the exact same as Hunter. Or exact same as Bret Hart. But because of his last his run with Shawn there, that storyline. That's where he went over the edge, right? Redefined that. I would give I would give Jericho an 8.5. I'd give Edge an 8. I'd give RVD a 7. A 7 that could have been an 8. But politics and his own personality kept him from it.
That's Sabu.
John Cena, I'd give a 9.
Not 9.
A 9, yeah.
How do you give John Cena Bret Hart?
Well, come on. Bret Hart was literally on top for like 4.5 years. John Cena's been on top for coming on almost on 10, almost on a decade.
Yeah, there's something to be said about some money.
Yeah.
Some of us say about drawing money.
John Cena is the only guy. I think they both are about equal draws.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know, I'd give him about the same to me. To me personally.
Longer on top. I think he became more famous ultimately.
So you're saying that Bret Hart is longer on the bottom?
You know what? It's a different era. I think Bret Hart is probably more important in many ways because of how much his style influenced the current style. But yeah, I mean, I'd give John Cena the better career. But the point is, Hulk Hogan's a 10. You know? Mm-hmm.
The Rock
is a 10. Hulk, you know, Steve Austin.
Austin is a 10.
That's Triple H.
Undertaker is a 10.
Undertaker's a 9.5 to me.
Undertaker is a 10 to me. Foley's a 9.5.
Foley's about a 9 to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, but it's all right.
Yeah, we're talking half points here.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're talking half points, right? But the point being, though, that I do not look at Chris Jericho's career and think it's worse than Triple H's. And if it is, it's by the slightest of margins. And, you know.
Hunter is a bigger star. I will say that. You know, that's where I said I can go. If I'm ordering it, I'll put Hunter above Jericho. I mean, not to put, you know, out of tens on it, but if I was to write a list of the biggest stars in wrestling history and I'm just putting them in order, I would put I would put Hunter ahead of Jericho. I wouldn't put him, you know,
but
way
behind,
ahead. You know what I mean?
Behind Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, behind all everybody you mentioned in terms of Undertaker and Hogan.
Yeah, I'd probably put him
Macho Man Randy Savage, yeah. You know, Andre the Giant.
Macho
know,
Man
like,
was a 9.5, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Ultimate Warrior, for fuck's sake, is probably
Warrior.
7.5.
Yeah.
You know, like...
You know, what's your finish so I can kick out of it? Yeah, it's just... I don't know. It to me, it's... It was just... Again, there's no point to it. Is
no,
the part
that's
that pisses
the thing, but,
me off?
But
is it like Edge?
I hate the fact that he puts himself in the category of The Rock and
yeah,
Stone Cold,
but,
and it's not done for storyline's sake. It's done to feed his ego because of his small penis.
Well, that's what it is. Is it again?
Believes that. That pisses me off. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
I mean, I don't even care if you can go home at night and really believe it for all I fucking care. It doesn't affect me one way or another. The fact is that he can truly believe it and he can come on and say and do whatever and think he's up there. But the fact was, is what he said drew no money.
No.
It drew no buys. It cost money and it cost buys. And this is
and
where
it may have cost you Chris Jericho for a while.
Yeah, whatever. But, I mean, the thing is
that
with...
That pissed him off.
Well, I'm sure it did. But, I mean, if the WWE has Chris Jericho, the WWE doesn't have Chris Jericho, they're going to get a 2.9 next week. They're going to get the same amount of buys. Jericho is not a difference maker. He's an extra, you know, he's a good hand.
I agree and disagree. I know what you're saying. I do.
Like, I mean, it's not a substantial thing. I personally would like to see Chris Jericho on TV. But
I know you have a point, but I'll say two things. Number one, if Chris Jericho comes back and it's just for one match at the one time and promoted in the right way, of course he'd mean something.
Yes,
one
time.
That's number one. Number two, if he makes the product generally more entertaining and fans like it more, that's a good thing for the product.
I haven't been entertained by Chris Jericho since his Nick Bockwinkel heel run.
I was entertained at times, but this last one when he came back at the Royal Rumble this time, much better. He had a lot of good matches and better.
Well,
like,
he was
way better. He
was
more entertaining.
Consistently the best. He was consistently the best worker on SmackDown for quite a while.
Yeah.
But again, then he fights Fandango in a who gives a fuck.
But it was.
We watched WrestleMania, and it was just that was not good. And it was better when he was Mr. Silent Shit, because that you know the world is going to change. Of course, it was better. Yeah, it would have had to have been
but
real
what's
fucking
really
shit
funny
for
is
him not to be.
How much of the opposite personality in trying to do the right thing is Chris Jericho to Triple H? Triple H is never putting over a Fandango trying. You know, nevertheless, especially not a WrestleMania. You know,
oh God, no! He only fights stars.
Yeah,
but and that's the funny part is that it's true. But I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it drew no money. It cost money. This whole promo served absolutely no purpose and was counterproductive to what they want to do, and that's make money. So for that reason, it was just that it was like, and that's your go home segment. Your go home segment drove people away. And that's just one of the, that's why, again, one of the stupidest things I've seen in a long time.
But yes and no, like it did drive people away.
Yeah.
But there is, well, okay, I have, again, it drove people away because of what Hunter said. But right. Ultimately, there was, Sean was really good. Okay, he had that one line. Yeah. But he was really good. He was the highlight of the segment.
Yes, he was.
He there was the tension there with Hunter. Where I think it's driving people away is less about what Hunter said. I think the problem is they basically made you think that you don't know who's going to win. Now, basically, it was, Sean will do the right thing. And Sean never said, yeah, I'll do the right thing. I'll call it down the middle. He never said that.
He did.
No, he didn't.
Well, he did. Not in that segment. No, he not, has.
Yeah, he has, but not in that segment.
No.
They kind of left you going, you know what, if this is going to work, if people are going to buy it, it's to go, I want to buy this because I want to see finally get the heels get theirs and Daniel Bryan finally win that championship. And they left you going, I'm not sure Daniel Bryan's going to win. And you know what, I don't want to watch it then. And that to me is the ultimate thing. There's not a sense that, I don't think they left me with enough sense that Daniel Bryan is going to finally put these guys in his place.
Yeah.
And part of that is because they're playing up that maybe Sean won't do it. Now,
well,
he wasn't, yeah. But the other guys were. And, of course, there's, you know,
Stone Cold Big Show.
Yeah, there's Stone Cold Big Show. That's the whole other thing, right? Is that's bigger, and that's where the focus is in many ways, and where will that turn out? And so I just kind of went, to me, this is where they're hurting it. This storyline, everything has been building to, at this pay-per-view, Daniel Bryan gets put on top, and the heels get theirs. And that last segment made me go, I don't know. I don't think they're going that direction.
I mean, again, I hope he does, but at this point, it's like, yeah, whatever. We'll see where they go next. That's kind of where it is.
I think that's going to hurt.
We went from SummerSlam and Night of Champions is going, okay, they can really capitalize and get some momentum, and Daniel Bryan with this, and they probably won't.
By the way, 20 minutes in, the Bully Ray and Dixie and Brooke and AJ, they're still yakking.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Good to hear. But, I mean, I think the thing is we looked at it, it's September and whatnot and how they had the momentum and how
AJ
when
has
gonna,
the worst haircut ever.
Yeah. When are they going to fuck it up? How are they going to do it? You know,
SummerSlam.
Actually, they started
before SummerSlam. No.
They had the momentum
until SummerSlam.
They had the momentum SummerSlam, and just after
didn't mind that. We kind of knew Randy Orton was likely going to cash in. We didn't even mind that. That's not where it fell apart.
No, but they started killing it. It's now to the point where here we are, you know, whatever it is, a month and a half later, and it's like, yeah, they're having a match, and I don't, you know, Daniel Bryan, if he gets a good little run with the belt, that would be neat, but it's just another run. With the belt, it's just another guy holding the belt. This isn't what you could look at when we talk.
Bully Ray's beating him down.
Oh, good. Well, this isn't a megastar.
No,
this isn't a megastar.
No,
and
it's not.
It has zero chance of being at this point.
Yeah. No.
You know.
No.
So
actually, I wouldn't say zero chance.
Okay, 2%.
Well,
but I mean,
but
he's
that
like milk.
Video gives me hope.
That video that goes on the website that they're never going to promote gives you hope?
I know, that's the problem. I would guess
that gives you hope?
Wait a second. I guess it'll be on the pay-per-view. It will be on the pre-show.
Yeah,
that's not enough. That's not enough.
111,000 people will see it.
That's not enough. Don't get me wrong. But if people go... if people say that's what's really good, you should have done that. And the fact that he was a fucking Ken Kennedy... Or Mr. Anderson, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, boy.
Returning.
Oh, wow.
Remember I said this show, I wanted it on in the background because I thought it might be, you know, newsworthy?
And I laughed at you?
Yeah. So 22 minutes in, and the ring is now Ken Kennedy or Mr. Anderson, whatever the hell you want to call him, and Bully Ray. Fuck.
Yeah, see? Told you. I don't want to say I told you so, but...
You knew it.
I told you so. Can we talk about the other good thing on the...
No, but I'll just say that video, you're right. Nobody's going to see it. But the idea that they can produce something like that, and in the future somebody could see it, and Daniel Bryan is so good in that type of thing, means I wouldn't give it a 0% chance.
No,
but
2%. It's
fair. I would give it a little higher than that, but it is unlikely.
2.1. they're fucked. Dude, they are what they are. They're going to just trug along and do nothing. What do we got here? Oh, the thing on Raw that I did like was Sunday. An execution is going to happen on Sunday live on pay-per-view. That was the Paul Heyman promo where he just went for a minute and a half, just like super high speed. I was just waiting for him to blow up, and he just kept going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
And then he just stopped because I'm in control. And I mean, he's still huffing and puffing while he's saying it, but he just stopped, and it was great.
It was what needed. It drove the point home. I mean, Punk came out and did his part with a decent promo, but nothing special.
That wasn't anything special, I didn't think. But yeah. So, but yeah, that was it. So you got Heck in the Sack on Sunday.
Well, the other thing is, you talk about this. This was 3 hours. We had this really terrific. It was pretty terrific Ambrose and Daniel Bryan match. You have a very good, Randy Orton and Dolph Ziggler match. And again, I'm sitting at home watching this on my PVR, and I'm compelled to ultimately skip through them. And I can tell they're pretty good by the crowd reaction and from what I heard afterwards. But when I have no way interested, you very rarely can get me interested in a wrestling match anymore.
I was more
interested in watching Sami Zayn get the title shot against Bo Dallas on NXT than I was in watching these matches.
My time is valuable, and it just doesn't interest me enough.
Watching the best wrestling I'm going to see on TV that week doesn't interest us enough. That's kind of scary.
Well, it is, but it's the reality, and it's been that way for quite a while. There'll be some matches, but how many times have I seen Ambrose and Daniel Bryan?
That's part of it.
How many times have I seen Ziggler and Orton wrestle? How many times have you seen Sami Zayn and Bo Dallas wrestle? You haven't, right? Well, now we have, but I mean, that's the thing, is that was Cesaro and Zayn. These things are new matches that... of guys, these guys can go. Let's see what they can do. I know what Daniel Bryan and Ambrose can do. It's good. I've seen it. I've seen it a lot, and I don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, I can fast forward that again. If I was watching it live, if I happened to, say, be a couple minutes behind and caught up on my PBR, would I watch that match? I would sit there and watch that match. I wouldn't, go to the kitchen or do anything else, take a piss. I would watch the match. But the fact is that I've got the benefit of it being on my PBR and it being, say, Tuesday or later on and, an hour in. Yeah, and I can skip through it. Yeah, I'm going to skip through it and save some time so I can get on with my damn life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just one of those things that, it's no knock on those guys. It's just the 3 hours is too damn long. It's another byproduct of that.
Yep. And you know what? I think part of it is, for me, subconsciously, when I keep on hearing this shit about Daniel Bryan, though I know it's not true, it does make me less excited to watch him. It does. It's subconscious. Because he's a troll.
A goat.
Goat.
I get to see a goat wrestle a troll, actually.
When I have Taker, sex, it's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. A goat wrestling a troll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fictional.
Yeah, it's not bad. But Taker and Lesnar on the books for Mania now. Every pencil has an eraser, but that's what it looks like right now. Is that we've got Undertaker and Brock as the match.
Okay, well, good, and it's also really good then that they put Brock over both CM Punk and Triple H the last couple matches.
Yeah, exactly, to go and do that. Kane, speaking of Undertaker, Kane coming back pretty darn quick. I guess the house show's loop is going to be Kane and the Rhodes brothers against the Wyatt family.
Yep.
So that seems to be that where they're going, and they're probably Wyatt family against Kane. We talked about Survivor Series options. doesn't seem like they're going to go that way. It's going to be another 1993 version where they've got just singles matches. But, you know, when they're talking Sho and Hunter, they're talking Bray against Kane again. And this time, you know, you build to the regular match.
So now,
are we on Impact again?
Ken Anderson, Mr. Anderson, now cutting a promo.
Oh, good.
Because we talked for 22 minutes, had 2 minutes of action. Went to a commercial, and now he's cutting a promo.
Oh, do they have a match?
No. He ran down to the ring, and Bully Ray beat up AJ. He ran out of the ring, cleared house. I don't know where AJ was, and Bully Ray got beat up by Anderson and left.
Oh, okay.
And now we come back from a commercial.
We're half an hour into the show.
Yeah, half hour in, and Ken Anderson, being Stone Cold Ken Anderson, is fucking annoying me, and I'm not even hearing it.
This is total nonstop action.
And you know what, judging from the crowd reaction, they're probably enjoying it, but you know what, I just, again, to me it just feels like a retread.
Hey, can I read the Dixie Carter feedback?
Oh yeah.
Okay, this is great. Dixie has a new t-shirt.
D-Land.
It's a blue circle where it says Dixieland in it.
That was her entrance video for tonight too.
Okay. And the reader comments on her page. There's a few of them here. Mm-hmm. Why would anybody buy this? She has no talent as a character, and she has no clue how to run a wrestling company. Just dumb. Okay. Go back to the office where you belong and bring back Jeff Jarrett.
The crowd is chanting yes, doing the whole finger-pointing up thing now.
Of course they are. Oh, here's a good one. What a joke. They should start selling Dixie dildos so we can fuck ourselves while we're being bored to death watching Impact. And now my personal thing.
Oh, now she's out doing her little thing where she's that condescending, stealing the Mickey James character, not nearly as good, with her security. And they're going to escort Mr. Anderson out of the ring.
Excellent.
Anyways.
Quit killing your company with your own retardation, Dixie. Nobody wants to see you, period. Much less buy your damn t-shirt. Get away from the cameras and go beg Mommy and Daddy for more money. Oh, wait. Daddy resigned because how badly he fucked up giving you a blank check to be a moron, didn't he? Congratulations, bitch. You've managed to take a good, potentially great thing and kill it with your stupidity. Next time, buy a brothel in Nevada. It'd be a more suitable career path.
That's awesome. But wait a second. What I want to know is, are you just reading the bad ones, or is this all of them?
No, this is all of them. This is every comment on shoptna.com.
I love it. I love... Oh, he's being handcuffed and let out of the ring. I bet you he'll give double fingers as he does it. Oh, fuck.
Oh my God! Yeah, this is like, and this is like, these.
This is that. This is theoretically the people that care the most about TNA because they're visiting their website.
Yeah, I mean it's. Yeah, this is.
Even.
First off, I'm sure TNA doesn't read this shit. Second, big mistake, TNA, for having a comment board. Maybe next time you'll learn, you tools. Third, Dixie Carter and the TNA company as a whole isn't worth $24.99 to a lot of fans.
Awesome.
Oh, this is just great.
You can't believe how much Steve Austin he's being as he's being let out of here. I mean, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch it just because you can't believe what you're watching.
Is he got the shackles behind his back and he's bobbing his head back and forth?
Yep, and yelling at the crowd. And
yeah, this ain't over, Dixie. Not yet. Not by a long shot.
Yep.
I'm sure, yeah. Fuck.
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 It'd be all right if it was Stone Cold Shark Boy, but other than that, it just doesn't work.
That would be great. But yes, I love this Dixieland t-shirt. What else did I want to talk about?
I don't know.
Kind of all over the map. Oh, okay, here's the thing I got. WWE's issued a new mail out about some feedback for some potentially new DVDs.
Okay. We're not done Raw yet, though.
I was.
I wasn't, because I want to talk about the amount of bullshit in this John Cena video.
Oh, there's bullshit in the John Cena video? Is this the one where he started with ruthless aggression?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Nice to see Kurt sober.
Oh, he wasn't sober. Actually, one of the things that's great about that, I watched that video just before we got on the air here. Just watched it one more time. And the first time he comes out, there's a little bit of back knee on Cena. But Angle's loaded with back knee.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just, like, popping up and down. It was just disgusting. I mean, Eric Young thought it was bad. It was. Wow. Yeah, I know. It was awful. But, I don't know. It's just so much. You know what? Again, this is. It's really weird because you get John Cena and he's coming back. He hasn't been gone that long, so people aren't going to be that excited because he hasn't been gone that long.
Well, they're already booing him when they announce it's Alberto Del Rio against John Cena. He's getting the boos.
Exactly. Of course they are, and that's one of the things is he's you know, he hasn't been gone that long. You can't have John Cena come back, especially if he's not going to be on the air and not promote it. So I mean, this is the best thing you do. But on the other hand,
right.
This type of video. Giving his career in 2.5 minutes, including things like, but the success led to resentment, which is not why we resent him. It's not because of his success. Nobody, if Daniel Bryan was successful for 10 years, I still don't believe people would resent him. People don't resent the Undertaker. Sure, okay, people turned on Hogan, but you know what? People would never.
That's kind of similar to Cena, actually. They get tired of the act.
Exactly. Well, no, that's the other thing. I'll get there. But I mean, they said, people never turned on Sting, really. You know, they never, they never really did. And that's the thing is, I don't believe that it's because of your success that leads to resentment. And then he says, I don't blame people for getting, what was the line?
Complacent with me and my character, but I'm got to be me or something.
And that's a load of shit, too. It's not that we're complacent with you. It's that, again, I don't, but it's just them trying to rewrite it, which is what they have to do, I understand. And they know that's not why people are booing him.
Yeah.
You say it, it actually makes me want to boo him more. When you put that out there, it makes me hate him more. So you're killing yourself.
Yeah.
In trying to rewrite the audience into saying and being what you want them to be. You're killing yourself because instead you're making me hate him more. But again, it comes back to the idea that you can't not promote Cena, but this video feels like you're shoving the fucker down my throat again, which is one of the reasons people don't like him. So
yeah,
all right, that's it. That's what I had to say on that.
Yeah, I'm looking at I think the more likely scenario again where Cena beats the shit out of Del Rio. Somehow there's a disqualification, and because he hasn't been on TV for a few weeks, Damian Sandow comes in and cashes in. Cashes in and wins the title, literally cashing in on Cena
beating the shit out of Del Rio. On the main event, Damian Sandow beat Dolph Ziggler. To show you, on the main event.
This week? I don't think so. Not this past one, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, who gives a fuck about that?
Well, but it just shows how far down Dolph Ziggler has fallen when Damian Sandow's pinning you, or that maybe they're finally realizing Sandow needs to win a couple before getting the title. I mean, that's possible. I don't really see that.
Seriously, no.
It's still a heel. I still don't see Sandow doing that because it's a heel on a heel. I could see more that Cena wins. Cena wins. Fucking Del Rio attacks him, destroys his arm again. Sandow thinks he's weak, comes out there to beat him. Gets put right into the whatever it's called.
AA or whatever.
No, not that. The other one, the submission one.
Oh, the Crippler Crossface?
Yeah. Gets right into the STF and taps out in 30 seconds. Like, that's how I see it going down.
That could, yeah. Yeah, that could either way.
But one of the things is that there's a picture online of Tara from a pre-taping from a match she did, a pre-impact from not too long ago, where she has the exact same fluid buildup on her elbow as John Cena. And she wasn't gone for that long, and it didn't take that long to heal. Again, making me think John Cena and WWE are full of fucking shit.
Yeah, it could be. Oh, it very well could have been that was the work intent. Every time he goes...
What is it they said he had again? What is the injury?
I don't even remember. It was a, I thought it was a torn tricep or something.
Yeah, which, again, how does that fuck up the elbow like that?
I don't know. Fluid buildup from something? I have no idea. All I want to know, I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV. I just want to know, was Cena, like, was he gone, would you say 30 days or 60 days? How long would you say that he was gone?
Oh, he didn't fucking fail. Are you kidding me?
Just saying.
No, fuck that. but I love that the Sheamus is gone for so long here.
Oh, yeah, he's shaved now. He's clean-shaven, Sheamus.
What?
Sheamus. He doesn't have a like a goatee beardy thing anymore.
Oh, I don't know that that would look good. He'd probably look really young, actually, like that.
Yeah, kind of looks like a tool. But he's not going to be back for a while, I don't think, anyway, so it doesn't matter. What else was there? Oh, yeah, okay, so here's some DVD things, because I don't give a fuck about Raw anymore. That show pissed me off too much. I have better things to do with my life than buy pay-per-views because of shitty television shows.
Mm-hmm.
DVDs, though, and baby butt wipes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so WWE sent out one of their emails saying, like, would you be interested in a DVD like this? So I just thought I would get to our thoughts on a DVD like this. A Paul Heyman documentary.
No.
No, you don't think so?
No.
I think I would enjoy that because I would like to see who they get to talk
about. I'll just watch the rise and fall of ECW again.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but there's also, I mean, he's had some other things. I mean, he does actually, I mean, if they tell the whole story, he actually does have a very good story in terms of being a photographer, you know, ringside at Madison Square Garden. I mean, we've seen that picture with a 15-year-old Paul Heyman and the three wise men, right? So if told, I mean, I just remember that Observer radio that he did where he's talking about when Captain Lou Albano died.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
You know, and it was just awesome. So it's just a matter of, you know, dependent on how they do it, it could be one that I would watch.
It was a torn triceps, by the way, so.
Oh, there you go. was he jogging?
Probably.
Okay. That's how you do that, I hear. Let's see here. Where are they now?
No.
No, I wouldn't. They did a bunch of those. And I don't know. You know what? Where are they now? It might be fun to watch Brutus Beefcake working in, like, the subway station. And also to see that most of them are dead.
No.
But, that's... yeah, really, I mean, the only where are they now, the only thing I would like about that would be the extras when they show what they were like in their prime, you know, for guys like Slick and stuff. But yeah.
Well, maybe if they do the Boogie Woogie Man.
Yes. And he's just eating worms.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. What's the next one on the list? A best of world class match compilation hosted by Michael Hayes.
No, just I don't have any connection to world class personally. I like the documentary because the history of it, but as far as the matches, from what I've seen, the quality of the matches don't blow me away personally.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I wouldn't give a shit about that.
Yeah,
personally, a Bruno Sammartino documentary.
Fuck yes,
I'm pretty sure they were doing this.
I thought so too.
His deal. In fact, I thought it was supposed to be out already.
Yeah,
but you know they're gonna have. I guess they're gonna have that 50 years of WWE one that we talked about the chapters last time. So he'll be all over that. So you can wait a little bit, I guess, to put.
Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, there was some DVD. I was in HMV a couple days ago, and there was some DVD which had him on the cover, and that was the Madison Square Garden one.
That's right, yeah. So this will be number two of Bruno's deal. So yeah, you do want to kind of space it out, I guess, right? What else we got here? Oh, here's a good one. Who isn't going to want to own the Nexus compilation?
Fuck no. Yeah. Not unless you show us what really happened with Ryback.
Yes, I know, right? But
no, it is an interesting little footnote, but it's an interesting little footnote that lasted a couple weeks. Like, it's what, like 6 months that it's interesting?
Yeah.
If that?
Yeah, exactly. It was, that's it.
The things that are interesting is, you know, things like Daniel Bryan being fired and brought back, and the injuries and trying to bring in guys like Bray Wyatt and having them out and that type of shit. That's what's interesting about it.
But
that's the where are they now?
Well, that's just it. Is if you could do a bad gimmick to now kind of thing, right? Diesel, Kevin Nash. We all remember as Kevin Nash and Diesel, but he started as Oz. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be interesting.
Yeah,
but,
no, that would be an interesting DVD if they did. If they showed us, for instance, every bad gimmick that Kevin Nash had, every bad gimmick that.
Not where are they now? Who are they now?
Yeah, exactly. Every bad gimmick that I don't know who else had a bunch of bad gimmicks before me something.
Lots of guys. I'm just trying to,
yeah, I know,
you know, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Let's see here. The best of Sting matches.
Interesting.
Just a one disc set, I think.
Interesting.
So again, throwing Sting out there.
I'll say yes. In the hopes that way that they'll get him. Because they'll get him possibly if they say, we want to give you more money now. But, TNA looks like they want him. And Hogan. But, Hogan will go where the money is. Perhaps Sting will too.
We'll get there. We'll get to that one in just a minute. Because there's a lot of talk on TNA here. But the next one is the best matches from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So...
That would be great. That means you're going to see some All Japan, maybe some Misawa and Kobashi, see some great stuff from England, maybe see some great stuff from...
Some Big Daddy.
Yes. Great stuff, I said.
Oh.
See some of the stuff, from Mexico and when Worlds Collide, maybe you could have a match or two from that.
You could show that. I mean, you could show
a lot of great shit. By the way, after a half hour of 32 minutes or whatever it was, 34 minutes with 2 minutes of action and a beatdown,
right?
Their response is then the next thing they do is a four-woman knockouts match. They have Kim and Brooke against ODB and Velvet Sky.
Valhalla?
Uh-huh. Up next, Ethan Carter III. Makes his debut on Impact.
Yes.
Remember, you got to watch Stone Cold Steve Anderson, but maybe not all of this.
No, none of this. Let's see here. Yeah, best matches around the world. So, you can have guys.
Yeah, I would love that.
You could have some.
You could have some of the times that people came into WCW and that type of thing, right?
You think of around the world and the sort of the global scope of the superstars. I mean, you can have an Aldo Montoya match. You can have an Outback Jack match. You can have a Mr. Fuji match.
So you could have the Jumbo Tosada, I think it is, against Ric Flair match from the Egg Dome that had 70-some-odd thousand. It was 45 minutes. You could have, remember when WWE and was it New Japan that put on a joint pay-per-view together?
No, it wasn't New Japan. That was the SWS.
Oh, that's
right.
It was SWS.
WWF owned it went in with Tenryu on it.
That's right. SWS. And it had, you could have the matches that you had.
You could have Tenryu and Kateo against a smash and crush of Demolition from WrestleMania.
No.
You could have a Tito Santana match. You could come up to Canada, you could have a Dino Bravo match. You could just go all over the world with this stuff.
No. You could have Dynamite Kid versus Tiger Mask.
Oh. You could have Squire David Taylor in a match. Gentleman Chris Adams. In a match, I'm telling you, endless.
You could have Fit Finlay versus Squire Dave Taylor in England way before we ever saw them.
Why would you do that when you had Jimmy Del Rey as the Leprechaun in WCW to take your Irish match? I mean, you could have some great color. You could have the Punjabi prison match.
That you should have.
You could have, if you want to incorporate two countries into one, you could just have a Tiger Chung Lee match because he was from Korea. Lots of the Killer Khan from Mongolia. Gorilla Monsoon was from Mongolia, for God's sake. Look at all the worldly Nikolai Volkov and Boris Zhukov. Jesus, this is awesome. The youngster,
Archie
Carlos
the Stomper
Stallone.
Goldie from Mongolia, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, the Mongolian Stomper. That's Canada's right. Greatest wrestler. Anyway.
Let's move on.
Let's move on to OMG.
Fuck off. Volume 2?
The top 50 WCW moments.
Okay, so it is essentially Volume 2, though. Because they did the WWE one already. And I have some mild curiosity in that. I probably have more curiosity in that one than in the WWF one, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, yeah, I think
that
one is.
I'd be really curious as to what they pick.
Well, that's the whole thing, is what will they be, you know?
Like, do you, at that point, do you put on good stuff, or do you bury the shit out of the company because you can?
Well, yeah, it's I don't think they do. They didn't with those best of Nitros and things.
No,
and
no, they did.
They're doing the best of Sting. I mean, here's another one we're talking about burying people and boy, how things change. The very next one is best of Ultimate Warrior matches.
No, that'll be that you could probably put on VHS. No sense in wasting all that disc space on DVD.
I know, because I can think of two matches.
I know.
You know, but the thing is that that's
three.
A far...
I can think of three.
What's the third?
Rude and him in the cage.
Okay, yeah, you could do that one. I mean, but the thing was, is with this, it's a far cry from the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior.
No, no, well, it's the same thing as Goldberg. Now, you know, they're...
Right.
Right?
Well, yeah, because they want to get him. So,
and,
oh,
and
here's
they have a DVD, and they're trying to make some money.
Here's
which
one
is what you should be fucking doing. Which well, is why next time you have an old school Raw, don't just bring the guys out and make every guy from the past a comedy character that sucked ass.
Well, yes. Give him a wig. The next one is one that you're definitely going to want. The John Cena match compilation.
The thing is, I probably wouldn't want it. But fuck, I mean, the guy's had a bunch of good matches.
Yeah, but they're all out there already. How many John Cena fucking fuckity fuck fucking fucks DVDs?
Hey, he sells. He sells.
No, he doesn't. He's popping right back up after getting hit.
Good point. He doesn't know how to sell.
He doesn't know how to sell.
My mistake.
This one I thought they already had, but the best WrestleMania matches.
I think they had, like, history of WrestleMania. I don't think they had best WrestleMania.
I guess. I don't think you need this. I think the best WrestleMania matches are available already.
Yeah, I think that to me, is you redundant.
Know. Yeah. This is one that the man they call B will want. The best of the big men.
Yeah. This is one when we gave out DVDs. That was the exact title I gave on one of my DVDs. Remember about a year and a half ago, we talked about... DVDs that we would like to see.
We want
to
see. This is
this
one
is,
of them, yeah.
This is one. Not only is this one of them, that was the exact title.
Yeah, so would you want to see it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe.
This one has a note on there in brackets. Andre the Giant and Big John Studd.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, I said, you know what? But honestly, I should get some royalties.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think yeah, so. Yeah.
Well, we do know they listen.
Yes. The best.
Let's see who EC3 is facing.
Who cares? The best.
Well,
of
I'm curious who he's facing.
I really, you're the one. The best of WWE pay-per-view matches. Again, just like WrestleMania, I think redundant.
Redundant, yeah.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Actually, I like this idea because I would personally like to see this behind the scene DVD with dark matches and moments, including Vince McMahon doing spin-a-roonies.
Okay, wait. Now I you have to repeat that to me. I'm too busy being amazed at the guy coming down. His name is Dewey Barnes.
Okay.
He looks like that guy that we saw in the pay-per-view, but not nearly as in shape or good.
Yeah.
And he's doing the exact same thing where he can't even climb. He's trying to climb the ropes and falling off. He's actually stealing the guy's act. Holy fuck. Okay, anyways, what were you saying? This behind the stage scenes or Vince McMahon's doing a spinneroony and...
Yeah.
This is where you have Stone Cold walking around the with the ring audience or the mic after Raw, those type of things. Yeah,
all the old entertaining things they used to do.
Yeah,
you know, instead the of just bashes.
Yeah, instead of just giving us the same old match in 5 minutes at the end of Raw.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, yes, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
This is where we see Umaga and John Cena and who else was it? Slapping each other and laughing backstage.
Oh, yeah, 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 that's right. That's right. He's dead now. But, yeah.
The other guy?
Umaga?
No, the other guy. There was a third guy.
I know. I don't remember who it was.
We can assume he is, though.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's true. That's true. Maybe it was, I don't know.
Test.
I don't know. Yeah, probably. Okay, let's call it Test.
Let's just say it was Test, because we don't know.
Let's just say it was Test. He can't defend himself. Let's see here. So, I think that, Sandow fought Truth.
Sandow beat, then it was on, was that on Superstars?
I was going to say, that was on Superstars.
Okay. So, I guarantee
Superstars.
Beat him on Main Event.
Okay. Well, anyway. So, yeah, those are the DVDs, selections there.
It's pretty poor. They've obviously really kind of gone through their DVDs. They're starting to run pretty low for ideas.
Well, when one of the options is best of pay-per-view matches,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, it's not even best of in your house. Like, they've done that, too.
Yeah. Like, well, that was good because that brought back Todd Pettengill.
Yeah, but the thing is, you could do just, I don't know, what's an event that happened, best of a Great American Bash. Just do, you don't have to do best of pay-per-view, do just one event that was around for forever, right? Best of Great American Bash, best of, I don't know, what else is something that's being around?
Well, they've done the War Games one, right?
They've done the War Games, and Starcade, and whatever, but I want to talk.
They've done Starcade. Halloween Havoc?
Yeah, best of Halloween Havoc. But yeah. I was thinking of something that's more, that has a WWE, because Great American Bash was in WWE for about 5 years. Well, what's a pay-per-view that they did for years?
Survivor Series.
No, I mean, like a B one.
Oh, God. Best of Judgment Day?
Sure. I bet you what was it around, like 8 years?
Best of No Way Out from Texas?
I mean, I bet you Judgment Day was probably around, what, 8 years? If you can't tell me you can put together some good matches from that, I'd be amazed. You can put together a good DVD. And quality matches that people might have forgotten.
Oh, sure, but nobody gives a fuck, because Judgment Day doesn't mean anything, right? You know, so.
Well, you sell it on the matches.
Nah, you don't. Nobody gives a fuck about those matches.
Well, nobody gives a fuck about random pay-per-view matches either.
No, I know. That's why one probably won't be on. They probably won't do it. I'm just that people will. It's all people will buy the ones, the compilation ones, like the Goldbergs and stuff, because they want to see those people. But
some people will. Very few.
Some people will. Yeah, some people will. More people than will buy Judgment Day.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think the best one on the list, to be honest, is the 50 WCW moments. I understand that's said to be hosted by Arthur Gorman.
50. I don't know. If that's the best one, but
yeah, I think it's got the most potential to sell. I guess is probably the best one.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, the WCW ones have done quite good for them historically.
Quite well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's speak the Queen's English here, huh?
Quite well.
Yeah.
Quite good. Did them fucking all right, you know.
You know, they done okay, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm fucking saying.
Okay, so here we go. Judgment Day. First one's in 1998.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's the matches where Steve Backman defeated Bradshaw.
Put it on DVD. Put it on Blu-ray.
Wait. The Heat matches where Oddities defeated Los Pericos.
Yeah.
Godfather. What's that?
I was going to say, it's ironic because there was no Heat to the match.
Godfather defeated Farouk.
Nice.
And Scorpio defeated Jeff Jarrett.
You know, I bet you all those
could put in.
I bet you the crowd was hotter for anything this past Monday.
Oh yeah, I bet you're right.
You know,
That's
the funny part. Scorpio and Jarrett probably had more crowd reaction.
This is where Christian showed up, had his first match, and defeated Taka Minonochu for the lightweight title.
Okay, so this was in Hamilton, was it? No, this was in November, was it? Or October, rather, then? October of 98?
October 18th, 1998. Very good.
Yeah. Because Christian debuted standing the pay-per-view before.
15 years ago.
Holy fuck. When Edge fought Owen Hart in your house breakdown from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And Owen had to wear a Toronto Maple Leaf or Toronto Argonauts jersey to try to get heat to be the heel. But Christian just stood there in the crowd staring, or I think he hopped the rail and just stared at Edge, and Edge was like, what the fuck? And then got rolled up by Owen. And that led to him coming out and saying and joining up with Gangrel, I think, on the next Raw.
So other highlights include in this would be Ken Shamrock defeating Mankind, and Kane and The Undertaker fought to a no contest with Steve Austin as the special guest ref.
Yes. You will raise the hand of the winner, or as God is my witness, I will publicly fire your ass, Austin. The go-home angle for this, the week before this, like 8 days before this pay-per-view, or I guess 13 days before the pay-per-view, was Bedpan McMahon.
Oh, was it?
Yes, and then the next week...
Well, no wonder, because I remember being excited. I remember watching this. I remember being excited watching this. I remember thinking it was good at the time. I remember thinking it's good now. And yet, looking at it, you don't think, what a great card.
Vince cut a great promo sitting at the top of the ramp wheelchair, saying, and he's like, I will publicly fire your ass. And he had the boss man still in the ski mask behind him because it hadn't been revealed that it was a boss man yet.
Yes, yes.
That was and that was the go-home promo for it. And then the night after this then was Austin got fired. And then it was Austin McMahon 316 says, I just pissed my pants, leading to the In Your House Deadly Game or Survivor Series Deadly Games tournament.
Okay. 2000 is the next time we have a Judgment Day, 9/99.
Okay.
British Bulldog defeated Joey Abs on Sunday Night Heat.
Get out of here. Really? That's an upset.
S.A. Rios and Lita defeated Kai and Tai. Anyways, we'll move on here to, because I remember watching this as well, Too Cold. Scotty Tuhati, Grandmaster Sexay, and Rikishi defeated Team ECK.
Team ECK. Oh, the Edge, Christian, and Kurt?
Yep.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Eddie Guerrero defeated Perry Saturn and Dean Malenko with China. I remember that match.
This is a three-way dance?
Triple threat for the European Championship. This was actually a really good event. I remember this. This was a terrific event.
Is this right before the Radicals got back together?
Right before they got back together, yeah, after the first split. Okay. Shane McMahon defeated the Big Show, the Falls Count Anywhere match. This is that crazy bump.
Yeah, with Test standing there, and he jumped off the Titantron.
Chris Benoit, too bad they can't put this on a DVD. Benoit defeats Jericho in a submission match for the Intercontinental Championship, like a 4¾-star match.
Nice.
Just awesome. DX defeats Dudley Boys, and Triple H defeated The Rock in the Iron Man match with Shawn Michaels as the special guest referee.
And that's when The Undertaker came back as the American Badass. Then
that was a wicked event.
It was just on Vintage, actually, that match.
Oh, really?
A couple weeks ago. I think it was right before their the revamp of Vintage.
In 2001, we had Kurt Angle defeat Chris Benoit in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Put that on.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can't again. Rhino beat Test and Big Show in a triple threat hardcore match.
Wow, that sounds awful.
This is awful. Kane defeated Triple H with Stephanie McMahon Helmsley in a chain match for the WWF Intercontinental Championship.
Right, this is when they were doing the when it was they were leading to the two-man power trip, was it not, against yes. Now the other thing with it was I just wanted to go back to the hardcore match. It was a three-way dance. It was a Big Show, Test, and Rhino.
Yeah.
Wow. And Rhino won the match.
Rhino won the match.
You know how he won?
No.
Short arm scissors.
Mm, could be. Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit won a tag team tournament match. The last three teams were them, Edge and Christian, and the Hardy Boys. Fucking great. And Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated The Undertaker in No Holds Barred match for the WWF Championship So another strong event despite a little bit of bullshit. Judgment Day 2002. We got the opener was a real good one. I remember this one. Eddie Guerrero defeats Rob Van Dam for the Intercontinental belt. We also had Brock Lesnar defeat the Hardy Boys.
Both of them, yes, in the handicap. Yeah. I remember that. Was this one in May, this Judgment Day?
May 19th. You're something else, man. Another handicap match had Stone Cold Steve Austin defeat the Big Show and Ric Flair.
Oh, yes. This is a handicap match?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. The other one is Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman defeat the Hardy Boys. So it was a tag team match.
Wow. Paul Heyman teaming with someone.
Yeah. Edge defeated Kurt Angle in the Hair versus Hair match.
Right. That was great.
Yes, it was. And so was this. Triple H defeated Chris Jericho, Hell in a Cell.
Yes, that was great. That was, I mean, again, that's just another example of, a pretty good guy, you know, having a Hell in a Cell main event.
Yeah, pretty good guy against a true star.
Right, but see, that was the difference, is that you had one of the top, legendary superstars, probably going to become a three-time Hall of Famer, to get in there with them, then, you have no choice but to really have a barn burner of a match.
But, yeah, I mean, it went 25 minutes. Great match.
That was the hilarious thing,
that's the sixth match on an eight-show match.
This was the match. This was referee Tim White's final refereeing match.
Yeah.
This is the Hell in the Cell where he got hurt.
Yeah. Then the Undertaker defeated Hollywood Hulk Hogan for the belt. In an interesting
match. Yeah. Yes, it was.
It was an interesting match for the main event. Holy fuck. 2003. Mm-hmm.
God.
The opening match. Well, Hurricane defeats Stevie Richards on Sunday Night Heat. The opening match in the pay-per-view is it's Rhino, Spanky, and Chris Benoit losing in 3 minutes and 58 seconds to the FBI, Chuck Palumbo, and John Stamboli, and
Sean O'Hare,
John Cena.
Oh, Jesus.
I told you, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's my...
You gotta keep them separated.
Jesus Christ. I don't know. I'm so fucking stupid. That's my John Travolta. You think pretty good? Pretty good? Huh? Fuck you. Eddie Guerrero and Tajiri defeat a Team Angle.
Okay, yes. Austin in the ladder match?
Benjamin. Yeah, ladder match. It was really, really good.
That was. Because Chavo was hurt, so he got into Tajiri.
Yeah, that's right. Christian won a Battle Royal for the IC belts.
The return of the IC belt. This was all former Intercontinental Champions.
Actually,
in the Battle
when
Royal.
You look at the list of people in there, Val Venus, Chris Jericho,
Goldust,
yeah,
Booker T.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. See if you name them all. You said Val Venus, Jericho, Booker T.
Val Venus, Jericho, Booker T, Goldust, Christian.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It was Test in it.
Yep.
Yeah, Tess would have been in it. I don't know. Was Van Dam in it?
Van Dam was.
And was Edge in it?
No.
I'm trying to think of who else would be. Who else was in it? Kane.
Kane was in it. Yeah. Good guess. One last guy.
Like the Big Show. Taz?
No.
Taz was.
There's a local champion, connection though, to this guy.
Was it Lance Storm?
It was.
Oh, okay, yeah. So all right. There you go. It was a 9-man battle royal? 10-man, I guess. Anyway, return of the Intercontinental title.
All right. So Mr. America with Zach Gowen defeated Roddy Piper with Sean O'Hare.
Sean O'Hare, yeah.
This Torrey Wilson defeats Cable in the Sable in the Bikini Challenge. This is I remember now. This is when what's her name Wilson's father? What the fuck's his name?
Al Wilson.
Al Wilson was all over. Yeah. Oh my god. Kevin Nash defeats Triple H by DQ in a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship, setting up the Hell in the Cell the next month.
Yeah.
With Mankind, who already couldn't move, Mick Foley, as the special guest ref.
Yeah.
And the main event, and this was awesome. This was an awesome main event. Brock Lesnar defeats the Big Show in the stretcher match.
Right.
Remember
that
where he came out with the fucking forklift?
Yeah, yeah. That was good. I enjoyed, yes.
Let me see. 2004, RVD and Ray defeat the Dudley Boys. They were actually a very good team. This is
the Dudley Boys?
RVD and Ray. This one's interesting. This is where Mordecai had his match.
I was going to say, was this the Mordecai match? I was just about to say.
Were you?
Mordecai gets Bob Holly, wasn't it?
Scotty Too Hotty. Three minutes.
Oh, Scotty Too Hotty. So was it, who did, was it Kenzo Suzuki? No, that was next month. That was a Great American Bash where they had Mordecai and Bob Holly and like Kenzo Suzuki against some other fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one really does sound shitty. I mean, Chavo Guerrero defeats Chavo Guerrero defeats Jacqueline for the Cruiserweight belt.
Charlie Haas
and Rico. It might be a SmackDown only.
This was, yeah, this definitely was. Was now, when you say Chavo, was it not Chavo Classic?
No, Chavo with Chavo Classic.
Okay, because Chavo Classic eventually won that belt.
So United States champion John Cena defended and defeated against Rene Dupree.
Rene Dupree, yeah.
Undertaker defeats Booker T and Layfield defeats Eddie Guerrero by DQ.
Okay.
Was this the one where he got all the color?
No, this was after the Great American Bash.
Okay.
This would have been the week or the month after Great American Bash.
But this is a pretty shitty card. So the first time now, I'm like, that's the first time I don't know if I'd put anything on a DVD, a best of DVD.
No, the last thing that's going on this DVD to me is Tori and Sable.
Yeah, pretty much. Man, next year is still obviously. I mean, this is probably maybe a good match. Paul London defeats Chavo Guerrero. Booker T defeats Kurt Angle. This is it. U.S. champion Orlando Jordan defeats Heidenreich.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you need to put that on DVD.
Ray defeats Eddie by DQ. Okay, so this is actually. This match was interesting. This one I remember. Not that it's good, but it's interesting, especially because the finish was so odd. John Cena defeats Layfield in an I Quit match.
Right, when he's just about to hit him and Bradshaw says, I give up.
Yeah, he goes, I give up, before he's about to be hit with like a chair or something. Like he's not even being hit. Like he's about to be hit, and he goes, I give up. I don't want to. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I think it was like a
hammer or something.
Yeah, something like that. It was supposed to be this great heel chicken shit heat move. There's another promo in the ring being cut. Rude on Angle. Fuck. Anyways, but this is probably a good match. London and Kendrick defeat Eminem. And here's another good one, though we wouldn't see it on DVD. Benoit defeats Finlay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that was when Finlay was one of King Booker's men.
That's right. Helms defeats Super Crazy. Henry defeats Angle by count out. Booker T with Charmel defeats Bobby Lashley in the King of the Ring final.
Oh, to become King Booker.
King Booker. I think that might have been Lashley's first defeat, too. Great Khali defeats The Undertaker in a singles match.
It's not the Punjabi prison?
No, it's the clean. Remember, Punjabi prison was where Undertaker was supposed to get his revenge.
Right, and then the elevated liver enzymes caused the Big Show to have to get in there.
Yes. Well, it can't be, actually. Well, actually, probably. I don't know.
No, Undertaker jobbed clean to the... there were two Punjabi prison matches. Undertaker jobbed clean to the chop, or the claw. I don't remember
in this
which
one. Yeah, it's the claw, I think.
Yeah.
And, So this is after, Eddie's death, but before Chris's death.
Right.
Rey Mysterio's the champion defeating JBL.
Yes, that's right.
There's probably a couple
this one also,
matches there.
This was also in May then, I guess, probably, eh?
Yeah, it was. Ric Flair defeats Carlito in 2007.
It was a great promo. It was a great promo to lead to the match.
I'm trying to remember if that was based on the promo. Or was it? I don't know.
Or did Ric Flair, is this Ric Flair winning the Intercontinental title? Because he did, no, that was it.
No, it's just, Night of the Champions. No, he just beat him by submission. Can't have been the figure four, though. He never beat anybody with that.
No.
It went 15 minutes.
He told Miz, he said Miz wanted to learn the figure four. He says, why? I didn't ever beat anybody with it.
Bobby Lashley defeats Team McMahon, Vince, Shane, and Umaga. CM Punk defeats Elijah Burke.
Wow.
Randy Orton defeats Shawn Michaels by knockout. The Hardys defeat Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch.
Nice. That was a great angle.
Yeah, that was. That was awesome. This actually might have been before they did the angle with Cade and Murdoch.
That's actually all I saw was, I think that was the jumping point to it. But it was interesting side note, the Daniel Bryan video where they went back to the Texas Wrestling Academy or whatever. Yeah. That's all I could notice was, hey, there's Lance Cade. And no, I don't see Linda around.
I remember listening to this promo and going, but Sean doesn't even remember this era because he's still fucked up on stuff here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't remember training Sean or Daniel Bryan. In fact, he really didn't train him.
No, Rudy Boy Gonzalez trained him.
Yeah. Edge defeats Batista. This is actually, up until now, I haven't really remembered this, but this is where I remember this. MVP defeats Chris Benoit 2-0, two straight falls.
Right, in that 2 out of 3, I remember.
Because that was a huge shock. And John Cena defeats the Great Khali by submission.
Excellent. That would have been awesome.
Actually, I think it might have been not as bad as you would think. 2008, the opening match, 2008, that got me right. Get the fuck out of here. No, the opening match, 2008. John Cena defeats JBL in a singles match.
What?
I know. Morrison and The Miz defeat Kane and CM Punk. Shawn Michaels defeats Chris Jericho.
Okay.
Undertaker defeats Edge by countout. Jeff Hardy defeats MVP. And champion Triple H defeats Randy Orton in a steel cage. So nothing on that card is going in. Except maybe Shawn Michaels defeating Jericho.
I was going to say, wasn't that not the good Shawn Michaels Jericho era?
That was the brilliant era. I don't know if that was the best match, but that was the era that was great. The next year, Umaga defeats CM Punk. Christian defeats Jack Swagger. Morrison defeats Shelton Benjamin with Charlie Haas. Mysterio defends the Intercontinental Championship against Jericho, and that was awesome.
Yeah, that was.
Batista defeats Randy Orton. For the WWE Championship, Cena defeats Big Show in a singles match. And Edge defeats Jeff Hardy for the World Heavyweight Championship. So there's some good stuff there. So, yeah. Interesting look back at the history of Judgment Day. Completely unfucking scripted.
That's right. And you will get that nowhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Possibly for good reason, but you will get that nowhere else.
Are you hating me doing that or what?
No. It was interesting to remember some of this stuff.
I know.
Because you're right. The Judgment Day, and you could probably go and try some of those. I mean, even when you talk about Backlash.
Yeah.
Backlash. I mean,
yeah,
I'll look
probably them all up. No problem.
No, we'll save that. We can't. We don't want to.
It's true. But Backlash is another one. It's like you could.
This
put
isn't Crash TV.
It would be more interesting than random pay per view matches. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's not. We don't need Crash TV. We need to pace ourselves here.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Do you want to talk about what the hell's happening over at Impact or what?
Oh yeah. Let's talk about that there. Speaking of Rey Mysterio, he came back in Mexico.
Quick notes. You have some quick hits.
Well, I'm just gonna say Rey Mysterio back wrestled in the Mexico tour that they just had in the past week here. So, I don't know if it means he's back, but he at least had a match. So, I mean, he's able to get back in. I guess is the best way to put it. Might be some news next.
Back.
back.
Baka
baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka baka. There could be some news next week. Is it because really they've got a? You would think they would announce this. The next WWE conference call, investor conference call, is ironically enough Halloween, and where they're apparently expected to announce some scary numbers. But one of the things that PW Insider is reporting is that the network is set to launch the day after Elimination Chamber. So it's just a matter. I know, right? It's just that current news there. But I mean, you would think if that is the case, then that would be the logical place to be touting that, right? They're not touting it because nobody uses tout, but trumpeting that to their investors, right? Well, he does, but nobody sees it. So,
how many followers does John Cena have on tout? They never brag about that shit.
Well, actually, this
you know.
Yes, this past Monday was the first time that WWE never once cracked the top 10 trends.
Yeah, I know. Who gives a shit? And Twitter, you mean?
On the Twitter, on their Twitter machines. But yeah, let's talk about Gimpact as it gimps in tonight at a Salt Lake City. They've got one more. I think Salt Lake City for these. They have a couple more sets of tapings, and then on I believe it's. November
by the way, John Cena on tout has 1,777,357. 177,000 followers.
Oh, okay. I was like 101,000.
Yeah, I realized that as I'm saying it. Like, this makes no fucking sense. There's a lot of fucking sevens.
Why are the commas in the wrong place?
Yeah, he's touted 45 times since tout started, two and a half years ago, whatever.
I was going to say like 3 years ago, yeah.
45 times. He has 177,000 followers, and he's following 34 people.
Nice. Are we one of them?
We did tout out that one tout. How did it go like that?
WWE, you are cocksuckers. Yes.
It was a great tout.
Fuck,
I wonder who else is on tout with... I wonder how many... If The Rock on tout?
I don't know. Tom Arnold was on tout, for God's sakes.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that was one of the things they were promoting. It was like, we have such celebrities like John Cena and Tom Arnold.
Dwayne Johnson, touted out. He has 43,650 followers. 43,000, almost 44 though. He's done six touts since joining, which is, I can see here, at least 3 years ago.
Wow.
And he's following zero people. Tout, good investment, WWE. Good fucking job.
I want to see who the top tout user is. Zappos Service and ESPN First Take and somebody named Skip Bayless.
Oh, fuck. Skip Bayless. I hate him.
Who's Skip Bayless?
He's like a radio sports guy.
Oh.
I hate him.
He's a cocksucker.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always filling in for Jim Rome. At least he was back when I used to listen to Rome. So now it's Bromans are doing their tag team celebration, complete with a DJ in the ring and dancing and all this stuff. Nice. And it looks like it's hilarious, but it's back to the fact that we're an hour and 20 minutes in, and I think we've had a combined 12 minutes of wrestling, maybe? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not even that.
I'm just going to go into... So WWE has had, it says here, 2,665 touts.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell they own it because they're in the entertainment section and not the
sports section?
Not the sports section.
Or the shit section.
No, the top, but they're not a top channel. The top channels are Wall Street Journal.
Russo's in the shit section, though.
Yes, he is. Wall Street Journal.
Isn't it called the Russo section?
Fox Sports and Kelly and Michael.
Really?
Strahan show, yeah.
Hey, anyway. Get this. And a team is in there, or a person is in there giving a promo. And the person he defeated at, or the face that Bound for Glory, comes in the ring to counter promo. That's new and original. I'm glad that TNA is going to have that at least once on the show.
Yeah, well, that is good. That is good.
Fuck off. It's like the fourth fucking time they've done this, or third fucking time they've done this tonight.
Yeah, no shit.
I hate them.
Well, did you hear about the new Star Wars movie?
No.
Oh. J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan have taken over screenwriting duties.
Oh, that's good. He co-screenwrited Empire, which was the best one.
Kasdan. Well, there you go. Yeah. That's when the heels went over.
That's right.
So
anyways, why would you bring that up?
I don't know, because I was looking for something and I ended up clicking on it by accident. And it's more interesting than Tout. Let's talk about it's more interesting than bromance. Let's talk about the TNA. We started talking about the new the Impact tapings on the road, set to end November 21st. Will be their first Impact in Orlando.
Yeah, it looks like or back to Universal Studios, but not the same building. Is that correct?
Not Studio 21, which was known as the Impact Zone, but there's one of three studios that they may be in there that they just haven't settled yet. But
do you think TNA, how many people they get in the Impact Zone again? Like 500?
Mm-hmm.
800? I think it's like 800 back in the old Impact
Okay,
Zone.
let's say 800 then, yeah.
I think they're probably usually getting about 650 actually in there.
Okay.
Oh boy, now out comes Bad Influence. Well, who at least will be entertaining, but for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
Sorry, distracted by shit. Shit distracts me.
I know, right? So they had a
Russo basically... obviously that is big news, how Russo's being rehired by TNA.
Well, yes, and we'll get there.
He's booked tonight.
Bischoff
didn't.
No, Eric Bischoff is gone, and he's not actually expected back.
At this point, it's just that he's not there tonight. But the rumors are that he's gone too.
He's gone, brother.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna take me. I'm gonna take my friend. So there's the liaison between them and the network. So they should obviously hire Cyrus.
Well, they really should. They should. And then they can be on the Manitoba channel.
That is actually kind of interesting. But, yeah, I mean, again, if they do 650, what do you think they could draw paying-wise to the Impact Zone every week?
Paying-wise? What do you mean?
How many people do you think they could draw that would pay to come to see them, pay $20-$30 to the TV taping every 2 weeks?
How many people could we get to pay to go see the TNA Impact taping? I would say probably about 500.
Then why the fuck?
Not in Orlando.
Oh, no? You don't think they could in Orlando?
Well, maybe at first, but again, it's one of those... The point of them being stationary and free means that you can get your hardcores to come back. And again, what you do when you go into Universal Studios, and I was there a couple of years ago, is there's guys standing there with clipboards going, hey, they see you, they see that you're like a... And they target you. You know, they're looking for women, or they're looking for guys, you know, 18 to 35. They're looking for this, looking for that. Hey, do you want to come and watch a show?
Oh,
and that's what they
Young
do.
And Young and Park now are in the ring as this becomes a schmoz.
Yeah, but that's what they do. So
of course they do. Yeah, I get that, but that's not my thing. I mean, we've seen shows being taped weekly in territories, and if the show is good, people pay and come back every week. And when it's really good, look at the Sportatorium in Dallas. When it's really good, you have to move to a bigger event. Even, I mean, yeah. When it goes to shit, it goes to shit. But the point being.
When was the last time that we saw that happen, though?
The closest would have been ECW, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're talking about now. 15, you know, we're coming up on 20 years ago.
But I just, if you could draw, say, even 250 people every single, you know, if you could draw 250 people every 2 weeks, 250, 300 people who are going to pay a little bit of money and it's going to cost you the same amount to put on the show, essentially. I just don't see why you wouldn't want to do that rather than get $0 like you will in Universal. Like, how can this possibly be? I know you're saving money. At least you're saving the money to be on the road. But why wouldn't you want to draw? Like, maybe you'll get a few more people. But if you're in the right place, 250, 300, whatever, you film it the right way, it'll look fine. It won't look any better or any worse than 650 people in an impact zone drawing zero money.
I just think it's also you get the benefit of a studio setup. So, you know, you really are getting, you're getting some production value, I guess, out of being at Universal versus being at, you know, the National Guard Armory. Now, that said, I don't mind now, been 3 weeks in, I don't mind watching ROH.
No, not at all.
I used to when it was black and they had the red ring and it just looked like, you know, cheap ass shit. But now the way they've got it, I don't mind doing
fine.
It.
And it looks,
and that's kind of what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's fine. I think I you know, and if you ever get a little momentum going, maybe you can build that up to 400 or 500. You know what the hell?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is that with the fact that if you got a little bit of momentum, you could get some more people paying. I mean, and you can always paper it. You know, you can always find 400 people to paper if you can't.
Yeah, you easily can, especially if you're only taping once every 2 weeks. So I just don't get it. I just don't understand what they're doing. But
I think the other thing you can do is with Universal Studios is you could have a couple set of tapings throughout the day. And if you really want to get into the Disney MGM WCW of 92 type tapings, you literally could, especially now that they've only got pay-per-views, four pay-per-views, you could tape. You know, within a span of a couple of days, you could, you know, tape 3-4 months of TV.
Well, aren't they taping I think it's December 27th is their taping, and the plan is to tape all of, like, December 28th, 27th and 28th, and they're taping all of January. Like, they're literally taping down to, like, an entire month's worth.
That was going to be the plan in Philadelphia, but it probably won't be
anymore. No, I understand that's still the plan, is to tape all of January. Now in the new Orlando place.
Well, it could be in the new Orlando place, yeah. And that's fine. And maybe that's a test for how things will look going forward, right? Because you can do that, and you can do that better in Universal, where they're feeding people in this tourist attraction. They're saying, "Hey, come to this, come to this, come to this." You could do that a couple times, and you could have them sit there for whatever it's going to be, an hour and a half, 2 hours for a show, get out, get the new people in. They can sit there for an hour and a half.
Do they actually have things like boo and cheer and whatever, like they used to in WCW back in the stage?
I understand they are actively seeking Wildcat Willie. But I do think that, I do think that you could do, if you do three cycles of people in and out for 6 hours, then you're going to get A, maybe a little bit better reaction, B, people actually going, than just someone going and paying a guard armory and sitting there for 6 hours.
And if a person goes three times, it means they're a fan. So whatever.
Then exactly. Then you can go and I'm sure there's more than enough room for someone to go through three times. You're right. Yeah. So, I mean, that to me, if they're going that route, that's the main advantage I can think of doing it at Universal versus doing it.
Now, I think the disadvantage to that is, of course, number one is money. But I was just going to say the person on the third tapings will have no idea what happened in the first two tapings of the storylines. So you might not get any reaction the proper way that you'd want for what's happening, especially if you have a heel turn of somebody they might recognize or. You know.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I think that, again, advantages of that and possibility.
You just need some sort of setup that the crowd knows what has gone on right before.
Well, in that instance, you don't. You need a competent production staff, and they don't have that. Because if you're taping, like 5 weeks away, that means you have 5 weeks to clean up the audio and make it do whatever you want.
Yeah, well.
You know? Really?
You saw
you
how well they did that with the pay-per-views they put on, the taped ones.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they're clearly idiots, but, I mean, they have that half hour to go,
the World Heavyweight Championship, Bully Ray versus AJ rematch is about to begin. Well, so that'll actually give us some wrestling. So we'll finish up with about 40 minutes worth of wrestling, maybe.
I'm glad he doesn't have a contract and he's going to make Dixie pay.
Yeah, me too. Me fucking too. Fucking idiots. Speaking of which, does that put Kurt Bauer in charge? At least, probably tonight, does it put him in charge permanently of Eric Gaughan?
You mean Eric, Dave Lagana?
Dave Lagana, sorry. Dave Lagana, because, sorry, those old, you know, all with similar
old backgrounds. Red. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, Bischoff being in charge of creative over the last little while. Does that put him in charge, Lagana in charge, and are they better off then?
No, I believe it puts, I bet you it puts Matt Conway in charge.
Or Jeff Jarrett.
Because that's Dixie's boy.
Or Jeff Jarrett.
No, I don't think Jeff Jarrett. I think it's a Matt Conway. I think it gives a little more to Jarrett or a little more possibility back to Jarrett. Hell, sitting with at that Hall of Fame with Kurt was Jeff Jarrett.
You know? Yeah.
So, I mean, and that was what he got heat with Dixie for. So I do think that it's possible that we see
for dating, even though he ended up marrying Karen Angle and lying to her about it when she asked if they were seeing each other.
Well, I think it was more
or the lie when she
the
asked.
Lie. Yeah. So I don't know. I just fucking retarded. But
By the way, we should mention we talk about the crazy bump that AJ took. At the pay-per-view, apparently he has torn cartilage, rib cartilage, coming off of that bump. So I guess he'll be performing this match with that. He is all taped up, but, I mean, it was a hellacious fall that he took there.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, that was a sick dive that he did, the 450.
I mean, Batch honestly needed it. That's the thing, though. It needed that or something like that to make it, you know.
To get the fans woke up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just see here. Let's talk about 24/7, where the action never ends.
Oh. The fuck are you talking about?
TNA, 24/7, where the action never ends. So, on top of what you're going to see on the wonderful program they call Impact, is that cameras are going to be rolling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on all of their TNA stars. You're going to hear candid comments after the show, before the show. The superstars traveling at home.
This is kind of what be there. This is kind of what was going to change the business that Hogan and I talked about.
Yeah.
Kind of, except for that was they wanted the fans involved, taping people, but sounds like bullshit to me.
It sounds like
at least they're trying something. It's something different. Nobody's done it before. So who knows? No, I mean, at least they're trying something.
That's what they need that's what TNA needs right now, but is more free programming.
Well, the thing is though, it is like I say, at least it's trying something and it can give them their own identity. Unfortunately, it's also bullshit.
Yes, and even if it wasn't bullshit, and it's giving them their own identity,
it's not going to last long. Different.
No, it's not because it's a stupid idea.
Well, it's really hard to coordinate,
and they're low rent.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Like the problem is it again that it really is that if you're on the brink and you're sitting there with
WWE stealing it.
Well, and they might do okay with it because they're the major league.
Yeah, exactly.
And they pretty much already do this anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, their cameras are always going at house shows and at, you know, they've got cameras everywhere and they always have, but they have for ages. You know, Total Divas is a fucking sitting in the lives of the guys at home, right? A scripted deal at home, right? And so it's the characters at home, right? I mean, and then we have things like the Daniel Bryan video or even a lot of the Triple H sit down with Michael Cole promos. There's a lot of these touts and like there's just been WWE really has been 24/7 with their video content for years now. And TNA is just trying to promote it like it's this big thing.
Yeah, as they should. I mean, you shouldn't promote it.
No, they shouldn't do it at all.
Well, they're probably true. AJ, by the way, like you say, he has the rib cartilage, apparently. He's not rustling like it's hurting him. But if he's taped up, then he should be selling it.
But and the important thing
is in no way selling it. Like, John Cena's looking at him going, come on, bud. Like, this is brutal. Yeah.
The important thing is that he is wrestling like he said he wouldn't do.
Did he say that? I don't know that he ever actually said that, but still.
No, he said he was going to make Dixie pay. So the way that he's made Dixie pay is by wrestling for free on television.
Well, he's probably getting paid for it, obviously.
No, he doesn't have a contract.
He
is volunteering this match.
I guess.
You know?
Which is why it's all stupid, and he almost broke his neck now.
Good.
That was not good.
Yes, it is.
All right, anyways. Any other quick hits there? Or
did we get That's it. You said you had a question emailed
to you. Are they better off? I have a couple of them, but are they better off than if it is Conway who's in charge? Whatever his name is, Matt Conway?
They're exactly the same.
Doesn't matter?
They're exactly the same. They're going to get 1.1. Doesn't matter. TNA is like, the wrestling itself, the business right now, just doesn't matter. There's nothing, the systems, both companies have systems in place that perpetrate mediocrity, and they're complacent, and there's no catalyst for change in either form, either company, and so they're just going to be what they're going to be. It doesn't matter who's writing the actual scripts to the shows, it's going to be the same.
Okay. Well, Salty Sean sent us an email. And
I think he's going to fight Ethan Carter next week.
Could be. Salty Sean, he wanted to – well, number one, he asked us. He said he's only been watching wrestling for about 4 years.
Sorry to hear that.
He says he likes it, but he was asking about, you know, some of the bigger events in the past and things he should track down. And unfortunately, we already answered that question once in the past. So yes. Going to our archives, you can find it on iTunes. You can find it Podomatic. Right now, probably best two places just because our website is so slow. It is in our own archives. But we have answered this in the past. We went into the depth in saying basically the last, 25 years. We each gave 10 things that people should watch. We covered all sorts of stuff from WCW, some stuff from Japan. We covered a lot of WWF, WWE. There's a lot of stuff there. So
yeah. Just watched the entire year of 1997.
Yeah, it was awesome. But anyways, so based on that, though, he's also asked, he says he's heard a lot about the legend of Vince Russo. Of course, he doesn't really know him because he's only seen Impact a couple of times, and he came about after him. He wants to know if he was as bad as people say. Is he the worst booker of all time, and did he have any good qualities at all?
First of all, he's a lucky fuck.
Could we have him on the show right now?
If I could be honest with you. But I think the second
Another
part
time.
Of it is...
Another
time. The second part is he as bad as people say? Absolutely not. He's a lot worse. I think... Did he have any good qualities? Of course he had good qualities.
I think he's the worst book of all time. I really don't.
No, I don't think so either, and I think that this is a double-edged question. Is he the worst booker of all time? No. Has he booked the worst stuff of all time? Yes.
The most damaging booker of all time? Yes.
Yes. But has he booked the worst stuff? I mean, that WCW 2000 stuff, that's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful. Yeah. When TNA with the blow-up doll, awful. I mean, so I think he has
the barbed wire Christmas tree.
Yeah, he has booked the worst stuff in wrestling history, but he also booked some good stuff and was not the worst.
And you have to keep in mind, I mean, people like, Tommy Dreamer, they talk about how incredibly bad a booker he was, or there's people who tried booking, the smaller territories or just ran territories into the ground and took over and ran territories into the ground back when wrestling was still good and still had some momentum, and there were still territories. And like, there's a lot of shitty bookers in history.
Oh, there were. And I mean, I think, even in world class, they talk, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, Ken Mantell, I think got the book for a little while and was really bad. But I mean, there's some, And Vert Gagne, the business passed him by, right?
And then he
wasn't good at that point. I think, though, that the one thing you say about Vince Russo is that he tried to give lots of guys a role. And he tried to get every segment on television had a point to it. There was none of this, like, now it's the Santino Great Khali filler match. You know,
well, the point was just to get them on TV to keep them exposed.
He did with his Crash TV. There always was, whether it was like, let's say it's Steve Blackman against Al Snow, and Al Snow and Bob Holly had an issue, let's say, then Steve Blackman is having a match with Al Snow so that Bob Holly can somehow get involved and further that issue. The matches don't necessarily have to be, you know, matches that
I remember something like Kane not having a match, not having an angle, not having a promo, but I remember him in one Crash T segment. It's just him walking backstage for about 30 seconds, and he's just throwing, like, he's knocking stuff over, like big stuff, making himself look like a monster. The point is just to remind you he's there and he's dangerous.
Yeah.
But there is a point to it.
There was, yeah, exactly.
But it's to keep them in your mind sometimes. That's all it is. The point is for Santino, believe it or not, when they pull out that sock and he's taking off Fandango, they think that Santino will entertain you.
What now?
But, no, you're right. He tried to give everybody a gimmick. He used up all his good gimmicks really early, probably because his good gimmicks were actually just kind of letting the guys be themselves before trying to give the guys gimmicks. Like, he tried to give the guys outrageous gimmicks. Whereas before, he came up with some outrageous gimmicks, but a lot of the times it was letting the guys were just kind of themselves.
Well,
the Godfather is in some way like himself, right? Val Venus is, on the other hand, nothing like Sean Morley. So
no, that's right. But I do think that, towards the end, it was just...
He used up all the gimmicks. I mean, the gimmicks he was giving people in WCW that they could not buy into, and they weren't well-suited for them. And the same thing in TNA. When he first got there the last time, and that was the first thing he did, try and give everybody a gimmick. But fuck, I mean, a lot of them were... Like, the gimmick he tried to give Chris Daniels or guys like that, it was shitty. And
he became what he despised that allowed him to be in. I mean, he hated the Duke the Dumpsters and the T.L. Hoppers and the Goons.
And yet
he just became it with guys instead of garbage men and plumbers. He had, you know, Amway salesmen and stoners.
Yeah.
You know, at the end in WCW.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I mean, it was edgier, but it wasn't. And of course, he would always blame somebody else for the problems. Never say I did this wrong or I did. Never.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So that's it. So that's the Vince Russo thing. Also, I wanted to note. I think it just struck me because we didn't mention this with Hell in the Cell being this
Heck
Sunday. We should go off with a Heck in a Sec preview.
We are. I have one other Twitter question that came to us.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Hoffman asked me. I did ask me, but I'll throw it out to you. Do you think Shawn Michaels was better after his comeback or before his comeback? And I think that's an interesting one because an argument can be made both ways.
Yeah, a couple.
Tough, isn't it? And you really think that's a tough question.
The only reason that I kind of say that I would probably say before is because he stood out more before. I mean,
better?
Well, that's the thing, is it? I think when you're looking better as a relative term, like when he come out and he could work circles around guys in the 90s, you know, that is definitely one thing, and he could. But when he came back, the work rate in wrestling in general had improved to the point where he could go, and he stepped up his game to keep up and be one step ahead of them.
Yeah.
But he was
well, explain
three
how
steps,
he changed.
He was three steps ahead of everybody.
But explain how he changed.
Well,
or do you want me to?
You can. I mean, go ahead.
Okay, the Shawn Michaels that we first saw was extremely athletic and charismatic and a bump machine. I mean, he bumped for guys.
Ziggler. He was Ziggler.
He was. Even better than Ziggler. He bumped even more than Ziggler. He bumped even Like I mean, up well, there.
He bumped better than Ziggler. I wouldn't say he bumped more than Ziggler.
Well, maybe not more, but maybe. I mean, he took.
Better.
Yeah, right. But Ziggler's take is up. But he did. He took consistently. It was easy to see why his back gave out on him. And it wasn't just the Undertaker match, though that was the final straw. But, I mean, even matches on free TV, he would take these crazy bumps over, going over the top rope and landing in funny ways and all sorts of shit. And it was because he was so athletic. You also have to keep in mind how big he was. I mean, we think of him as a small guy. He certainly was towards the end. And small for his era. But if you look at Shawn Michaels in 1995, that fucker is jacked and on all sorts of shit to get that way, as he'll admit. Like, he was a big, muscled-up guy. You know, but relative, like I say. But, yeah, I mean, he bumped, like, Terry Funk and Kurt Hennig. I mean, he bumped like these guys. And he was about the spots because he could do these crazy athletic spots.
Yeah.
When he came back, he didn't bump as much.
Not liver spots, not dog spots, but athletic spots.
When he came back, he became more of a storyteller. When he came back, he did not bump as much, but his bumps were smarter and bigger and meant more.
Yes.
And he became more of a storyteller. His timing got better. His selling got much better. Before, his selling was kind of phony. His selling got far more realistic.
Well, and part of it was that he could, because he was the legend as well. Mm-hmm. So he kind of got a little bit of leeway that he wasn't fighting tooth and nail to be the guy. He was, you know, and part of it was the fact that he was a man of Jeebus and such, and he was more, he was older and wiser is the best way to put it. He was more secure in himself.
Yes.
I don't want to call him Captain Security, but,
no,
you know.
No, he never was that, even, you know.
He's never been, but he was more secure than, you know, than when he left. And so I think that helped his confidence.
AJ retained.
Oh.
That match went about 17 minutes, giving us, I think, a total of about 29 for the show.
Ooh.
Go ahead.
Oh, total nonstop action. Yeah, I just think that because he was more, and there's still 10 minutes to go on the show.
And, of course, Anderson showed up.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's the thing, is that his self-confidence allowed him to be, more giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't need to, because, I mean, he wasn't taking the bumps to get guys over.
Always was trying to make himself the star of the match before. And that's why his storytelling got better, because he could, like you say, he was more confident in himself. Therefore, he could legitimately make that other guy a star. It's not like in the match he has with Nash, you know, at WrestleMania, he's bumping for him the whole time, but not to make Nash the star, to turn the crowd and get the sympathy, make himself the star.
Oh, yeah. And
right?
It worked.
Whereas, later on, he could, when he was selling and bumping for guys, it was to make them look strong. And there was a difference.
Oh, a huge difference.
And so in many ways, his work was better because he was smarter. He could tell more compelling matches, not more exciting matches. He was a more exciting worker pre his injury. He was a better worker and more compelling worker after his injury. If you ask me, who do I want to watch? Honestly, his athleticism, and he was still an excellent storyteller pre. And he carried guys who weren't that good to tremendous matches more often because the work rate wasn't as good. In many ways, I kind of prefer the pre Shawn Michaels, because I love watching the guy come flying at the ropes and dive over the top rope and land on Vader at, you know, 12 feet out of the ring. Now you see that all the time. You didn't see that all the time then. You know, now you see Sami Zayn doing that. You didn't see anybody else doing that. He was so unique and special then. But as a worker, I think I probably would prefer to watch the earlier one, but I think he's better. He's definitely better when he came back.
I think so. And again, I think a lot of it too, not necessarily that say that he was, I mean, he was better, but I think that, again, the level of competition was better as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so. Absolutely. But also the other thing was, as a character, again, I don't know if he was as charismatic because he wasn't as bombastic, but because he was more believable, his storylines meant more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Less cartoony, more believable, so his storylines meant more. You know,
well, he was getting into, to me, he was getting into his most entertaining just as when he got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, with the DX stuff at the beginning of the DX.
I think when they reformed DX, though, about, what, 2006 or whatever, I think he was very entertaining.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That stuff was actually entertaining. That was comedy that WWE
remember, remember when he
did.
Was when he lost the match and wasn't around forever and he would, like, kick the cook or kick the little kid and stuff like that off screen?
He got a job in, like, an office building in the cafeteria and kicked the kid or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that shit was
even
funny.
Even the when you know the Vince and the when they changed his voice on the mic, you know when he had that really Alvin and the Chipmunks squeak, you people think this is funny?
Yes, yes.
And because it actually was.
Fun. It was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as far as the only time if you want to see the only time you want to see the old Shawn Michaels in the new era was the Hogan stuff, the promos and the work, the way he worked that match. That was the old Shawn Michaels.
Larry Fling.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
All right. I think we're OUT. Like you said, we're going to put this unbelievable, the audio from it. So you should go to YouTube and watch the video.
But I think we should at least briefly talk about the heck and the sack in terms of running the
we're
going to
run
matches.
The card down?
Just a little bit of the card runs real quick. We don't have to spend a no pun intended, a heck of a lot of time on this. The first, we do have Langston against Curtis Axel as the pre-show match for the Intercontinental title. This is one where I think if Heyman's going to get the shit kicked out of him by Heyman and going to be away for a while, then I think that...
I see Langston getting the belt, and I see him being pushed as the monster again, and I see a really two-star match.
Yeah.
Langston has way more potential as a babyface. Good thing they turned him, though. You could already see it, just the way he was working on Monday.
Yeah.
Way more potential and understanding of how to do that character.
Oh, for sure. I also want to just quickly do one thing here. I'm on WWE.com here. Superstar Origins, 8 debuts that changed the WWE.
Oh, okay. I am watching TNA now do a highlight video of, for one night only, Tournament of Champions.
What?
That's funny.
What? One night only.
Yeah, remember they're one night onlys that or whatever they're called?
Yeah.
One show only or one night. Yeah, I think that's what they're calling them. They're those pay per views.
Yeah.
Champions. And a lot of guys not around anymore. Anyways.
So it 8 debuts that changed the WWE. So let's run this really quick.
Okay. All right. Undertaker better be on this fucking list.
Okay. Well, the first one is Hogan.
Okay.
Okay. And then
I don't know
the
about
next.
Yeah, I guess.
Yes. Then what? You don't know.
Well, just if the moment of the debut changed it, no. His debut in the company, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it depends. Is it that moment that changed?
I don't think so. But
Because Taz has to be on the list, right?
Okay. The
mood was about to change.
It was. It was. Until we saw how small he was. The next one is Austin.
Okay.
You know who his debut match was against?
Steve Lombardi? Brooklyn Brawler?
Matt Hardy.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think a house show was a Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, probably, yeah, yeah. The next one on the list, Daniel Bryan.
AJ and Dixie are talking. Okay, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. The next one here, Batista. Yes, I said that.
I'm fucking speechless.
The next one is Randy Orton.
Batista, if Batista's on this list and Randy Savage isn't.
The next one is CM Punk.
Randy Orton, CM, fuck off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's keep going. Next one. Who do you think the next one is?
Triple H.
Triple H. And I think maybe the last one. Yeah, the Sean? Last one.
Sean?
I did it for The Rock.
Oh, The Rock. Was Undertaker on there?
Undertaker was not on there. Nor was Shawn, nor was Cena, nor was Lesnar. Yeah, just you know, lots of anyway.
Randy Savage.
Randy Savage.
British Bulldogs, frankly, changed the way the WWE was.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, if you really want to look at, oh, that's fucking crazy.
Okay.
So let's just go to Joey, the heck Joey Styles in charge of WWE.com still. He's apparently trying to keep his job. Is that where he still is?
I don't know. Maybe.
All right.
Sounds like it. Okay, let's just go to Heck in the Sack really quick because there aren't too many matches. We went through the Intercontinental Championship on the pre-show. AJ Lee against Brie Bella.
Brie will win the title, and I won't give a fuck. AJ apparently is now dating CM Punk.
Oh, good.
CM Punk has broke up with Lita and broke up with, what's her name? Glamazon.
Apparently, no, Edge.
Oh, sorry, that's Glamazon. Edge with the Glamazon. Well, didn't he fuck her before, though?
Could be.
He's working his way through all the divas. But yeah, he's no longer with Lita. He's actually with proving that while he may not in reality be into crazy chicks, he is, as a matter of fact, into average or below average looking chicks.
There you go. See? We got Rhodes and Goldust against The Shield against the Usos in a three-way dance.
I almost think the Usos get the belt here. But anyways, that should be a good match.
That should be the best match on the show, I think.
Yeah.
Punk.
I don't know about best match on the show, but it should be a good match.
The Matadors are fighting the Real Americans.
That has potential to be a terrific match.
This one is interesting because, again, we talk all the time about how WWE doesn't finish their storylines. I had no idea that the Real Americans joined 3MB.
No, I think I mean, the bullwhip is there. We may see a further angle. It'll probably go 15 minutes. The crowd will probably turn on Matadors and cheer the Real Americans. It'll be a really interesting action. I mean, do the Real Americans go over? Probably not. Should they? Yes.
Is it a 5-man band now then? Or 6-man band, I guess? Is that what they're doing? Because I'm pretty sure that the Matadors are only allowed to fight 3MB.
That's true. I'll give you that.
But it's in Miami, Florida. So, you know, the Mexican Puerto Rican should be over strong with the Cubans.
No, I don't think so.
No. I do like the fact that Dutch Mantel, one of his earliest gimmicks.
Was the bull rope thing?
He was a master of the bull rope, or the bull whip match.
Yeah.
And so he probably legitimately had that whip for probably like 40 years.
Yeah, that's great.
So, that is awesome. What have we got here?
Oh, now AJ's walking out. He's walking out on her with the belt. See if she's going to hug his leg.
Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah.
What do we got here? CM Punk against Ryback and Heyman. Yeah, really, again, who cares?
I can see why they put this on TV because nobody saw the pay-per-view. So this way people actually, whoever watches the show can see the angle and get behind it instead of like 5,000 people.
But again, but this also, it's, you know, chicken or the egg here. You know, this is also coincidentally why no one's buying the pay-per-view.
No, yeah, it tells them you really don't have to.
And you don't.
Yeah.
You know, you do not have to buy what we consider to be our biggest show of the year because we will actually show you the angle the next Thursday. So who
of course, didn't WWE every single match on paper on the goddamn WrestleMania was practically except for Taker and Punk was like a rematch on Extreme Rules.
Yes. Cena and Rock was not, Taker and Punk was not. But again, but other now you're but here's the difference is you're rematching that on another show you have to pay for.
Yeah, that's true.
So again, if you want to see these matches, you have to pay for them. And so whereas
saying because everybody came out and continued the same feud. Nothing was settled at your biggest show of the year. No feuds are settled and over.
Well, that's true. Two things got settled, and that was it, right? But again, it was also a two-match show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You got Del Rio.
I meant for TNA, but it was true of WWE as well. But I meant this for TNA. Your biggest match, nothing got settled. You're setting up rematches up and down.
Yeah.
The board. So, anyway,
that's right.
Go ahead.
That's right. Nothing got settled. Del Rio and Cena.
Oh, yeah. What was the one before that?
Punk and Ryback and Heyman.
Oh, yeah. That'll be decent. And Punk will win.
I don't...
It'll be 3 stars and Punk will win. It'll be really interesting to watch the... I may watch... Because I'd say there's a... About, I don't think we're watching Hell in a Cell together because you're going to... What is it you're going to do?
I'll move.
You are in the middle of your move, but I mean, I probably will order it. And I probably will watch the Cena or the Ryback Punk match from the year earlier. Hell in a Cell main event before watching this. So
yeah,
just to compare it.
Just yeah, dare to compare. I mean, we'll see. Just, I mean, this really is. I mean, even though you've got Punk and like that Ryback and Punk and that really that's really lost momentum.
Yeah, it really has
in the last month. You know, you
it's
get
one
Cena
month. It's 1 month too many. The Heyman feud.
Yeah,
is basically the thing.
But you've got Cena and Del Rio again. You know, I like this just again because it takes Cena out of the one picture, puts him into another.
I think it'll be a 3.5-star match because Del Rio's work's been so good. There will be lots of crowd heat for it for sure, a ton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people booing Cena, some cheering from a ton of heat. It's not a fresh match. I've seen it, but it doesn't feel to me like it's done to death. Plus, there's the whole psychology of the arm and the finisher. I'm looking forward to that one. I think that'll be good.
Yeah, and then the main event, again, Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton.
Should be the best match on the show.
Yeah, I think
hope it's not too much of a Jeff Jarrett booking, too much of a schnoz and run-in and people. And I hope the storyline's the match, not the other shit. And the other shit happens after or before.
And you got a pre-show and then you got 6 matches.
Yeah.
So you got time for a Vince McMahon promo to bring back the Big Show.
Could be.
You know, or you do that. See, that's a situation.
How much did you hate watching Big Show come out in that monster, 18-wheeler or whatever?
Yeah, whatever, just that big fuck Optimus Prime. It was just again.
So
it was,
not Steve Austin. Like, it's just, fuck off.
Yeah, it's. Again, the one reason that I don't have a problem with it is, as much as you want to talk about Hunter, you know, I only fight stars and blah blah blah.
Now he's going to fight a much bigger star than Daniel Bryan, Big Show.
The Big Show, yeah, but that's, you know what? But given Hunter and who Hunter is and what Hunter and Hunter's small penis and the fact that he can't not, yeah, fine, beat the Big Show. I don't care. You know what? That just means that the Big Show is not in a shitty match, and Hunter's not in a shitty match I don't care about, so they can go off and have a shitty match, one shitty match I don't care about, then having 2 shitty matches I don't care about. And you know, if Bryan fights Hunter, that Hunter's, again, this is the, like, what he did on Raw was the verbal pedigree on Punk.
Oh, yeah, it was the equivalent. It was
The other thing he's known for, right? So, yeah, I mean, if he did fight Bryan, that's exactly what would happen to Pedigree. So I don't want him to go and fight this lower star because he would just beat him and ruin him even further than he already has. So put him with the Big Show, a guy that if Big Show gets ruined, who gives a fuck, you know? So it's just that's why I don't mind them building to that match. And again, it's going to be a logical thing where Vince is the one that's bringing him back, and that's, you know, I don't care about it. I don't. It's not that I hate it. I don't like it, but I don't hate it. But I understand it.
Yeah.
It makes some sense, and it's like, okay, fine. That's go forth and sucketh, and at least you're not ruining someone that I care about, which is why I like this Cody Rhodes Gold Dust against Usos Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins matches, because it's like those are 6 guys that I think will work really well together, and it'll be
so
good.
So Ambrose is not on the card then?
No. At this point, Ambrose not on the card. At this point, the Wyatt's not on the card. There's 6 matches in a pre-show.
Right now on TV, after Impact, looks like something that is worth watching. Rampage for real. 6 minutes in, I can tell you, this is going to be one of the greatest shows of all time.
Nice.
This is going to be, I'm going to have to find a replay and tape this, because this is going to be great. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right, so that's it. Now we can go OUT.
I think we can go OUT.
You know what? The funny thing is, as much as we're talking shit, and this is, again, what it comes down to with the TNA, or WWE in this case, I think a really good card. I expect a pay-per-view to bounce back after two poor ones. I think this is going to be a 7 or more. I look at the action. I think there's going to be good wrestling. I think it'll be a good crowd. I mean, I think it'll be, yeah. Unfortunately,
maybe
your build to it has really fucked you.
Well, as I said, I mean, what you've got, you do have a Divas match. So you got some shit there. I don't think the Punk and Ryback and Heyman thing is going to be good. I just don't think it will be.
Stop. Even better than this show, they just showed the pay-per-view commercial for Rampage and Tito. It's like they're Godzilla in a city. Like, huge walk, stomping around. It's fucking amazing. Anyways, go ahead.
That's hilarious. Did you read in the Observer? I read that a prominent former UFC fighter was set to contact WWE this week about coming in and training. Didn't say who, but and I couldn't even venture.
No,
a
I'm
guess.
Trying to. Could it be Rampage? Could it
no,
be?
He's. I was thinking like Liddell or Couture or you know what I mean, like somebody.
I don't know.
I wouldn't think it would be Randy Couture, but I mean, I could.
No,
see
none of these guys quite seem right. I'm trying to think of. Yeah, I'm trying to think of who that could.
You know,
be.
Actually, you know who would be, but I don't know that he's not former. I guess, but Kimbo one guy
Slice.
That would be
Kimbo Slice. Huh? Kimbo Slice.
It could be Kimbo. One guy that I think would be great would be Frank Mir.
Yes, but he has a Loser Leaves Town match with Alistair Overoids.
Okay. I hope he loses and goes to WWE. And then he could fight Brock.
Be great. That would be great, actually. That would actually do some buys for them. I'm not kidding, even.
I know. I'm not either. I think that would be great. I'd love to see that. But,
all right.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. And then, yeah. So I think that's going to do it. I mean, AJ.
Yeah, like, but my whole point was it's not going to be that good or not a good build. But
right.
I think a really solid event, really good card. So we can get people anxious. Like I say, they should go on YouTube and watch it. But even just the audio from this unbelievably great, best thing they've done in years, makes you want to see the show right now, Daniel Bryan video. We will be ending this with before we go OUT. Other than that, do the plugs and shit.
That's going to do it. Yeah, WeTalkWrestling.com. Again, we're getting it up and quicker and faster. It's a host issue. With it, they've done some changes, and it's just not been good. So we're
working with them. We're working with them, trying to get it and figure it out. And,
those motherfuckers. But at EADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com. We're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. You can also go on Twitter and Stitcher and get all the shows that way as well. So I think that's all of them. So. That's going to do it for yet another week. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
So are you coming over on Sunday to watch this with me?
I think I have to wash my dog's hair.
My name is Daniel Bryan, and I'm a professional wrestler. All I have are my honor and my pride. My initial goals when I started wrestling was just to make a living doing what I loved, be the best wrestler I could be.
The best! This is a superstar that every underdog in life should admire. Draw your inspiration from Daniel Bryan.
My goals have changed because as you get more success, the better you want to be. I'm mostly known for my technical wrestling, for my submissions, for my kicks, but I'm very comfortable brawling. And the key to my success is being able to adapt everywhere that I've gone. Every time I went to Japan, every time I went to Europe, every time I went to Mexico, there were different styles everywhere I went, and I've had to adapt each and every time. It's a different style here in WWE. I've been in some brawls. But I see myself as a hybrid, somebody who can do anything. When I started wrestling, you know, I never thought I'd actually be inside of a Hell in a Cell. So now we're days away from it, and I'm getting really excited. I saw the very first Hell in a Cell match with Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, 1997. Violent. This is everything that you want in wrestling. Two guys settling their score inside of a cage. If I can beat Randy Orton inside Hell in a Cell, I think this will be the crowning achievement of my career. I always keep my mental focus. That's one of the things that's got me where I am, because people have told me my entire career I couldn't even get to right here. And now here I am, main eventing Hell in a Cell. There is an extreme level of violence to Randy Orton, but he's never seen how violent Daniel Bryan can be. He hasn't seen the viciousness that I've needed just to get here, because I've had to scratch and crawl and dig through holes.
Come on, that's that fighting spirit. Come on.
Because every person that I've ever fought has wanted to get right where I am, and guess what? None of them are here.
All you are is a B-plus player.
Randy never had to fight in those armories, okay? He never had to claw somebody's eyes out just to get an opportunity. He had it spoon-fed his entire career because of who his dad was. Now, I'm not saying that Randy Orton isn't good, because Randy Orton is great. He is a 10-time world champion. This is my first Hell in a Cell match, and I'm not afraid in the least bit. I'm keeping my focus. And Randy, at Hell in a Cell, you're going to get your head kicked in. My name is Daniel Bryan, and I'm a professional wrestler.